Welcome to the Invivo podcast. I'm David Wild, Pharma and Biotech Reporter for Invivo. And today I'm pleased to be speaking with one of Invivo's 2024 rising leaders, Hanady Yusuf, founder and CEO of Juvenna Therapeutics. Hanady's expertise is in the biology of aging and the mechanisms underlying tissue degeneration. That interest led her to launch Juvenna Therapeutics in 2018. The company uses computational biology and AI technologies to discover, develop, and commercialize disease-modifying biologics to treat chronic and metabolic diseases. Their platform specifically focuses on the therapeutic potential of the secretome, the collection of secreted proteins in the body. And with that, I'll turn it over to Hanady to tell us more about herself and the company. Hanady, welcome to the podcast. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, David. It's really a pleasure to be here.
First of all, congratulations on being one of Invivo's rising leaders for the year. I would love to hear more about your academic and career trajectory and also what prompted you to switch from academia to industry.
Thank you so much, David. It's I'm really kind of thrilled to be awarded this. And my really interest in science and biomedical research actually started when I was 9 years old and first decided I wanted to be a doctor. And then it really accelerated in my early teenage years when, at the age of 15, I began doing research at Regeneron Pharmaceuticals. And really, at the time, just fell in love with drug discovery and development and the idea that we can actually leverage our discoveries and ideas to not only discover unlock new scientific discoveries, but importantly use those discoveries to actually translate them into therapies and medicines that can really help people and humanity. So it was really then that I decided I definitely wanted to get a PhD. I was actually kind of hungry to be a scientist and ended up kind of a little being a little impatient in the sense that I skipped a grade, went to Carnegie Mellon, majored in chemistry. And then, continue doing research. And every single year, like through high school and then through my college years, I would go back to Regeneron for internships. I did, research, a research honors thesis. And, ultimately that landed me in a PhD program at UC Berkeley in chemical biology. At the time, actually, when I started at Berkeley, I was really intrigued by gene therapy and oncology, and at the time had really wanted to originally dedicate sort of my scientific career to really developing viruses and engineering viruses for site-specific integration to fix mutations. And this was really before like the pre-CRISPR days. But then in my first year of graduate school, I decided to take a course called Stem Cells and Directed Organogenesis with professors Irina Convoy and her husband Mike Convoy. And it was really then that I had a major, in many ways, light bulb moment where I fell in love with the concept that by understanding the mechanisms underlying aging and specifically studying protein signaling and how changes in protein signaling with age lead to a decline of our own body's stem cell function and our own body's really many different types of functions and ability to repair and regenerate, we could actually target those pathways and processes to reverse it and really promote tissue health and restoration of function and in many ways rejuvenation. So I got really passionate and excited about this and really decided that that's what I wanted to dedicate sort of my life and scientific career to. And it was especially at the time and continues to be something that really inspired me because simultaneously while I was really pursuing my passions in science, I was experiencing, like many, unfortunately, many of us experience, diseases of aging and unhealthy aging and sort of, diseases that afflict our loved ones. And so my own father, unfortunately, once he got into his 40s, he began developing age-related diseases, including things like diabetes, cardiovascular disease. He started getting, heart attacks and strokes, and just every decade, he was degenerating in many ways and sort of losing that, health and just vitality of his systems. And so that really, in many ways, kind of gave me a sense of urgency where I really saw an opportunity to actually leverage, our understanding of the biology of aging and targeting it to help those in our lives that we love so much, and to really, you know, potentially not just, you know, develop therapies that can change, you know, the way we approach the later decades of our life so that we can live life to the fullest, but importantly, by doing so, really enable folks to rejuvenate their lives. And so that's kind of how I got, you know, really into it in the early days.
It's fascinating. So that explains your kind of interest in longevity medicine, and it's a very exciting field. And we'll get a little bit into it later in terms of the evolution of the field. But can you tell us a little bit more about Juvena's kind of platform, about the secretome, and why it's such an important source of potential therapeutics?
Absolutely. And, you know, really the sort of idea around Juvena stemmed during my sort of PhD work in graduate days at Berkeley, when my colleagues and I began studying proteins secreted by stem cells, such as human embryonic stem cells. And what we demonstrated was that these secreted signaling proteins not only had the capacity to generate every tissue in the body, but we were actually seeing these really impressive regenerative effects across aged or diseased human cells and tissues, and importantly, in aged animal models. And so it was really then that I, you know, had this sort of, you know, another kind of exciting light bulb moment where I realized that this could be something that could really, really impact human health and potentially even, you know, really change the way that we sort of approach healthcare, in the sense that, you know, while folks have known for decades about the therapeutic potential of secreted proteins, for example, you know, think of blockbuster proteins like insulin, right, or human growth hormone, the therapeutic potential of these proteins remains sort of untapped due to a combination of technical limitations and our screening abilities and an ability to really deconvolute these really complex mixtures of thousands of proteins secreted by stem cells. As well as, you know, what I noticed and we're kind of really looking, you know, at the sort of biotech landscape, a sort of dearth of companies really kind of focused on sort of unraveling the you know, secretomes to develop novel, you know, regenerative or tissue restoration-based therapies. And so with that, the idea around Juvena was born, and I didn't actually jump straight to kind of starting the company. I continued with my dissertation thesis at Berkeley, and then went on to pursue a 5-year postdoctoral fellowship at Stanford School of Medicine in the lab of Professor Tony Wise Cray, where, you know, there I continued my quest to really understand, you know, how it is that protein signaling in our body can really impact the health and function of core tissues such as our brain and our muscle. And with that, I also began kind of networking and sort of building the business model around Juvena, because I knew, you know, to really kind of take that leap of faith and leave academia to kind of, you know, go on an entrepreneurial journey and start the company, you know, there was just, I was looking for a fellow co-founder and a scientific expert that could really complement my skill set, in the sense that while I really brought to the table this understanding of the health of tissue, what we dub tissue homeostasis, and really targeting these pathways to restore function, I knew that if we really wanted to deconvolute the secretome, I was specifically looking for a quantitative proteomics expert who was leveraging and even establishing the latest in mass spec-based unbiased quantitative proteomics, and then also using the latest in computational biology and machine learning to predict protein-protein interactions and really deconvolute these complex protein mixtures that we were isolating from stem cells. And so I had the great fortune, and I really find this to be a serendipitous moment, of meeting my co-founder, Dr. Jeremy O'Connell, in 2017, when he and his wife had moved from Harvard, where, you know, she was an outstanding fellow. She actually started at the time a professorship at Stanford. She's still there. And Jeremy was wrapping up a postdoc and moved to Stanford after a 5-year postdoc at Harvard School of Medicine in the lab of Steve Gigi, who is one of sort of the top sort of quantitative proteomic experts in the world. And so, you know, when we met, I kind of pitched the idea of co-founding Juvena, and shockingly, you know, he was, you know, willing to kind of step outside the bubble and protection of academia with me. And then we set off to really build a platform at Juvena that's essentially based on enabling us to predict, screen, validate, and then engineer proteins secreted by stem cells that have therapeutic potential, and then ultimately translate them into injectable protein-based therapies, you know, like insulin, but for other chronic age-related as well as rare diseases.
Can you go into a little bit more about the types of diseases that you think can be targeted through the secretome?
Absolutely. So, you know, what's exciting about our platform and approach is that proteins secreted by human pluripotent stem cells have the capacity to develop every tissue type and kind of cell type in the body. And so what we're doing with our platform is specifically mapping proteins to different cells and tissues in which they can have disease-modifying effects, followed by extensively translating them and really validating them in preclinical disease models, and then finding a way to, you know, to make them druggable, either by engineering them with improved drug-like properties or, you know, by developing, you know, other ways to modulate their pathways. And so at Juvena, we decided to first establish the framework of the platform focused on really targeting metabolism and inflammation. And the core tissues around metabolism and inflammation are importantly muscle. It's also bone, fat, and of course the immune system. Our first absolute laser-like focus was on really identifying proteins that can enhance muscle regeneration and improve muscle metabolism in order to treat diseases such as age-related muscle wasting itself, or even be able to target other diseases in which muscle wasting is really core to the sort of pathophysiology. And so that led us to Juvena's lead protein therapeutic candidate that we have today, which we've dubbed JUV161, which we are currently developing for a rare orphan disease known as myotonic dystrophy type 1, with plans to be in the clinic, you know, for the first time ever, you know, but with our first discovered asset this summer. Yeah. And then it's also led us to, you know, in addition to just dozens of hits, you know, over 50 to date across different therapeutic areas, the other metabolic organ that we really began focusing on in 2021 was really looking at adiposity and really identifying proteins that can regulate adipose tissue and improve adipose metabolism. And that is how we actually discovered our second nominated lead, which is dubbed JUV112, which specifically acts to enhance lipid metabolism in order to promote weight loss. And happy to share more if there's questions.
Yeah, there are questions for sure. So I have a question about both of the assets you're talking about. First of all, I guess congratulations. If I understand correctly, you have orphan drug designation for the myotonic dystrophy type 1 asset. That feels like it must feel like an important achievement. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about the asset and the significance of the designation and your development and commercialization plan.
Yeah, absolutely, David. You know, there's definitely been some really kind of pivotal moments and key inflections that we're just thrilled about in the journey of discovering. And now, you know, really, truly this bench to bedside, you know, desire and goal and mission at Juvena. And so we did receive from the FDA orphan disease designation in late 2023. It, you know, was really kind of validating in the sense that, you know, that and combined with our pre-IND FDA feedback that we got last summer, you know, kind of brought home this idea that, you know, Juvena is, you know, succeeding in really fulfilling and getting closer and closer to our ultimate mission and vision, which is to discover and translate a whole pipeline of stem cell secreted proteins that can promote tissue restoration and function to ultimately, you know, promote human health and health span. So, you know, with orphan designation for 161, it, you know, gives us more kind of, you know, just sort of, you know, regulatory opportunities to really accelerate and be able to kind of take advantage of getting 161 to the people who need it most as quickly as possible. And so the way that we really discovered 161 was in leveraging the platform we built to identify proteins secreted by stem cells that can target core pathways involved in the health of our muscle tissue. And so specifically, we actually identified multiple candidates, but the best one that really came out was our lead asset 161. And it acts on really mechanisms involved in age-related muscle wasting, but these pathways, AKT dysregulation, increase in glucocorticoid signaling, you know, really also impact and are kind of core hallmarks of rare diseases, including muscular dystrophies. And so as we developed 161, we really realized this amazing opportunity to be able to first develop it for a major unmet medical need that as of today still has zero FDA approved therapies for the largest muscular dystrophy, you know, that exists, which is myotonic dystrophy type 1. It's an autosomal dominant disease, so it is really hard to also target with gene therapies. And, you know, this is an opportunity for Juvena to really develop a complementary approach to some of the antisense therapies also being developed for myotonic dystrophy, where our goal is to really leverage our protein therapy to improve muscle health, to build back muscle, to promote that regeneration, and importantly, preserve that muscle function. And it's also having some really impressive metabolic benefits. So, you know, we just can't wait to help the people who really need it the most and to use this importantly as a way to then hopefully broaden 161 so that once we get it approved for myotonic dystrophy, there's some, you know, really great potential to then expand to larger indications, you know, including age-related diseases, as well as, you know, potentially even combining our 161 with, you know, other types of therapies, you know, to really improve and preserve muscle health, muscle mass, even in the context of, you know, diseases or, you know, conditions such as obesity or diabetes.
Regarding obesity, which was one of the company's therapeutic areas of focus, how does your approach and your asset differ from the GLP-1s currently on the market? And what are the relative strengths of your approach and your asset?
That's a great question. Well, first, you know, I will say that the, you know, GLP-1s have just been, you know, in our minds, revolutionary and have opened so many doors in really the way that, you know, humanity, you know, considers and, you know, and the way that the pharma industry thinks about chronic indications, including indications such as obesity that often have comorbidities like greater risk to cardiovascular disease, to, you know, metabolic diseases like diabetes, to fatty liver and you know, other, you know, core unfortunate ailments as we get older. And so, you know, at Juvena, the way we targeted really, you know, obesity really came from the angle of identifying factors that can enhance lipid metabolism, which led to JUV112. And it differs from the GLP-1s in that we are directly targeting fat to, you know, promote weight loss and improve the sort of the health and composition of our body's organs. And we're doing it in a way where you don't have to starve yourself. We don't, our mechanism is not inducing appetite suppression based on what we have seen so far to date in our preclinical models and our data. And so, you know, this is just could be another opportunity to either develop a therapy that is complementary, that targets, you know, certain, you know, types of you know, folks who want to get treatment, you know, based on sort of their comorbidities. It could also potentially be additive to the GLP-1s. And so we're, you know, really grateful to have, you know, discovered this after a few years of really building this program up and just thrilled that with the successes, you know, almost accidentally, right, of the GLP-1s that were, you know, first prescribed for diabetes until folks realized, you know, how just strong their effect could actually be for, you know, for indications related to obesity or obesity itself. You know, this has also really opened the doors to pharma appreciating that, you know, there's going to be a lot more to come after this, you know what I mean? In the way that we, you know, approach chronic treatments that can really, you know, improve the health and vitality of our health and our tissues.
Okay. Thanks for explaining that. Why don't we move on to your overall kind of business and growth strategy with the company. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and where you see the company in 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, David, I'm so excited and just grateful, honestly, about where Juvena is at today as a, you know, Series A stage, you know, funded company, and really where we're headed with the support of such an outstanding kind of group of shareholders, investors, advisors, mentors, and most importantly, really the employees and that, you know, have really stood by us and, you know, worked together to get Juvena to this really critical point. And so in the next, you know, few years, we are ultimately transitioning to clinical stage, where we're now able to, you know, literally in the coming months, like, you know, this is a big year for us. We're going to be able to kind of validate and get that first in human, hopefully POC, to really show that this approach is something that could really be, in my view, of course, kind of, you know, really incredibly sort of revolutionary to the way we approach, you know, these later decades of life and sort of this concept of healthy aging. And so, you know, I do see, I see JUV161 hopefully, you know, succeeding and being able to kind of translate that and to treat myotonic dystrophy and then leverage that to continue to potentially sort of expand its use to other dystrophies and maybe even chronic indications. I see our obesity asset 112, which, you know, we're super, you know, just excited about. I call it obesity asset, but it's really a protein therapeutic that enhances lipid metabolism and actually could potentially, just like 161, be developed for multiple chronic indications. For example, it, you know, could have improvements, for example, in fatty liver and, you know, cardiovascular health and, you know, in other metabolic indications. So there's just so much potential, you know what I mean? And then we love the platform. We love our other hits. You know, there's more than Juvena can do alone. And so I'm really also hoping that in the next, you know, really in the near future, you know, we leverage the, you know, assets, the platform, the, you know, multiple early discovery programs to hopefully secure, you know, just a couple of really kind of close pharma relationships so that we can really leverage the capabilities of, you know, larger biopharma that have the resources and appetite to potentially target some of these major chronic indications and in my view, you know, the largest unmet medical health needs of our time.
Just thinking about the team you built at Juvena, it's an incredibly diverse team, and I'm assuming you did that by design. And just wondering how diversity has impacted the work you do, how you do it, and how you create unity in the face of diversity.
Thank you so much, you know, David, for recognizing that and sort of acknowledging the, you know, incredible just diversity, you know, and really, you know, talent of our team. I'd say that, you know, I it's not by design super intentionally in the sense that at Juvena, first and foremost, you know, what really strikes us and attracts, you know, the way that we approach attracting talent is, you know, we are focused on folks' capabilities, their experience, their, you know, alignment in our core values and sort of the mission, the vision of the company and the folks that we've been fortunate to attract who happen to be incredibly diverse, you know, are really sort of just folks that each and every day just, you know, amaze me in terms of their skill, their intelligence, their, you know what I mean, commitment and work ethic. And you know, I do think that, you know, bringing, you know, having more diversity has actually also shown time and again, you know, that actually helps, you know, companies succeed more and really bring unique perspectives to the table. And sort of one of our core values, you know, at Juvena is really this concept of inclusion and, you know, that we want, you know, everyone to have that chance and seat at the table, you know, based on if you really want it, if you're fighting for it, if you have that, you know, the skill set and sort of that perseverance, that determination and ability to really accomplish great things with us.
As a co-founder and a biotech entrepreneur, what's the experience been like? And if you had any expectations at all going into it, how did it differ from those expectations?
Before you start a company, you actually really can't, you know, even though you can sort of imagine and envision and, you know, watch movies and be like, oh my God, this looks so cool. And, you know, there's just, you know, this is going to be fun. Like you can't really envision what it's going to be like until you're actually in it. And I feel like a great analogy is like, not that I have children yet, but like I have lots of nieces and nephews. And it's like, you know, before you become a parent, you know, you kind of think, you know, what it's going to be like. You read a lot of books. You know what I mean? You're like, I can do this. And then it becomes like this all consuming, you know, kind of core, almost part of you and sort of who you are. And it's, you know, it's a lot different than what you expect. And so I feel like that is definitely the case with, you know, building Juvena from the ground up. I feel like it's been met with challenges that, you know, that have actually enabled myself and my team, you know, to really, you know, challenge us to be the best versions of ourselves, to, you know, target kind of, you know, problem solve, to be really creative. And so, you know, that is, that's been wonderful. And there's also been, you know, mistakes and difficulties and, you know, learning on the job. And maybe I shouldn't speak too much about that. I don't want to, you know, worry my shareholders, you know what I mean? But, you know, there's also just been so many like learnings from, you know, understanding when to kind of trust your gut instinct more, you know what I mean? From, you know, thinking, you know, bringing on people and learning, you know, how to work together and, you know, who works and who doesn't work and why. So I would say, yeah, it's, and then a lot of just business, finance, business development, finance, operations, you know, G&A, you know what I mean? Stuff that, that, you know, I just kind of wasn't thinking about, you know what I mean? When I was like, just so focused on the science and like this idea of starting a company. And if you're not careful, and if we don't work, you know, hard to continue building the talent at Juvena, to build up G&A and to build up operations, it ultimately as a founder and CEO becomes your job. So I've had to wear multiple hats, including even janitorial hats, you know, like everything, you know what I mean? Until we, you know, figured it out and how to do it. And I'm just grateful for all the great mentors, entrepreneurs, other CEOs who supported me and the team and our journey, and who allow me sometimes to ask very stupid questions, you know what I mean? And of course our corporate counsel and, you know, everyone just around the, that's come around the table to make sure that this is a really amazing business and flourishing.
Longevity medicine is a nascent field, and some see it with some skepticism. How do you think it'll mature, and what do researchers in the field need to demonstrate to show the value of the broad therapeutic area? And maybe you can define what longevity medicine is, because it's a big term.
That's a great, you know, question, Dave, and I really appreciate that you asked it. I'd say, you know, there is an incredible and growing community of folks that are really passionate around the idea of targeting really the core underlying mechanisms that are leading to some of our greatest unmet medical needs, which are diseases associated with aging. And so at Juvena, and, you know, in a lot of the communities that I am, you know, fortunate to be a part of and support, you know, we really kind of believe in this concept of really promoting health span and leveraging our understanding of the biology of aging to do so. And so the way that the field is sort of maturing is, we all know there is no ICD-10 code, right? There's no disease called aging. And in fact, aging doesn't have to be a disease, right? There are, you know, folks, you know, on planet Earth to this day. And, you know, I hope my last living grandma, you know, who's in her 90s will be one of them, right? Who sort of live all those kind of, you know, later decades with their health intact, right? They do end up becoming centenarians, you know, and they ultimately, the most fortunate of us, will just sort of pass away peacefully in our sleep, right? So there is this opportunity out there, and this real opportunity to really give folks that opportunity to allow themselves and their loved ones to enter those later decades, you know, living, continuing to live life to the fullest, and to be able to travel and have their mobility and move and have their cognitive functions. And so, you know, the way that we're kind of getting there is by identifying core diseases of aging, right? Like age-related muscle wasting, sarcopenia, or diseases which, you know, more and more folks are realizing can, you know, really change the way we, you know, tackle chronic comorbidities and diseases, right? Like obesity, and leverage that to actually develop therapies that can, you know, be natural-based therapies that you know, are not invasive, don't require surgery, and give us the opportunity to really restore and promote the health of our tissue and our tissue function. And, you know, in that way, actually target diseases that do have, you know, ICD-10 codes or ICD-9 codes, you know what I mean? Do target actual diseases that the FDA considers as diseases that need treatments. And that's the way that Juvena is going about it. And that's, you know, been very successful to date with a lot of these early preclinical programs and what we hope will be a clinical stage asset by the end of this year.
We covered a lot, and it was a really fascinating conversation. Thanks so much, Hanadi, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, David. Once again, you know, thrilled to be on this, you know, this impressive list with, you know, outstanding other awardees, and can't wait to hear more about them and keep in touch.
And for more biotech and medtech insights, visit invivo.com.